And a highway will be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. Now that's the King James Version. So you might read that and go, what exactly does that mean? Because sometimes the King James English made more sense a while ago than today. So this is the New American. And I think we get the gist of it. Now, if we're going to read out this memory verse, shall we do that? Now, if you want to read out your translation, I think that's okay. Our voices might have some different words, but I don't want to read out words that you're going to go, I don't know what that means. So read out what's in the bulletin, if that's what you have. If you have your own translation, then let's read that out. Okay, let's go. Verse 8. A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. As long as we get the point that God is talking about holiness, and we get that point. God is talking about holiness, and there are going to be people who are going to walk there and people who aren't going to walk there. Holiness is a very important thing, and I love this idea that God talks about a bride. So, of course, it's very easy to talk about this and think about my own bride, Elgin. And I remember thinking about all this time when I was single. I got married at 33. I was single for a very long time. And I remember one time my dad sat down with me and he said, Justin, I think you're just a little too picky. You're single all this time. But this girl was nice. This girl was nice. But the Lord put in my heart a certain type of bride. And she loved the Lord. You know, she worshipped him. She lived this way. So yes, this was good. But your bride, and you'd say the same, like your husband, that person you choose, you don't just want to go and get anything. You want someone special. And the Lord wants you to want that. And so the Lord could have chosen all these analogies. The Lord could have chose rock and paper or flowers and grass. But he chose a bride as an example. And I love that expression that says, every bride looks beautiful on her wedding day. And I would have to say, for the weddings that I've seen, all the pictures I've seen, I've never seen a bride that doesn't look beautiful. You know, a bride looks beautiful. Now, when we look at this teaching, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Is it possible for a bride not to look good on her wedding day? Do you think so? You think no? All right. That's all right. We'll think about that for a minute. We'll come back to it. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. To 20. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of the Lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you. Jesus has appeared. And God has come to grab us and gather us to himself. Now, God talks about us being like a bride. There are some scriptures in your bulletin which you can have a look at. I'm sure you're familiar with them. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27. God says, I'm going to make man after my own image. And so he made them male and female. And he brought all the animals before the man. And the man said, well, it doesn't say what the man said, but it's interesting, God brought them two by two. And Adam's one by one. So maybe the Lord was kind of provoking him to think, where's my helpmate? So the Lord brought him this helpmate. So they were together. So God's institution of marriage was from the beginning. God's institution of these two. And he puts himself in that position, likening himself to a husband and us, the church, as a bride. So sometimes I've heard women say, oh, I feel really bad because in the Bible it always talks about men, men, men. And I heard one preacher say one day, well, don't feel too bad because I'm a man and I'm called a bride. So, you know, let's not worry too much about those things. Now, let's go to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 54, verse 5. For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. So we see that God is our husband, all right, in that right sense of that relationship. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll read from verse 25. Ephesians 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Notice that he refers to the church as a her. Okay, so God is the husband, we are the bride, we are the her of this relationship with God. But it's very important that Jesus is doing something we see here. He is sanctifying, verse 26. Jesus gave his life, verse 25. Why? So that he would sanctify us. How's he doing that? By the washing of water with the word. The Word of God is changing us and growing us. That's why, and I know this church, we talk so much about the Word of God. Because if you put aside the Word of God, well, what are you washing yourself with? Dirty water? We must wash yourself with what is going to make you clean. And it's the Word of God that does that. And what is the conclusion of the bath? The conclusion of the bath or the washing, we see in verse 27. That he might present to himself. So Jesus is going to bring to himself the church in all her glory. Having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she would be holy and blameless. You and me are to be holy and blameless. This is our life mission. This is our life project. I take on projects and like to do things. My greatest project is to become like Jesus. Okay? To grow, to change, to be transformed, to let the Holy Spirit work in me, to let the Word of God dwell richly in my heart and change me. And that is the mandate for all of us. We're to be obedient unto that. That's the way it works. So I asked you before, could a bride look bad on her wedding day? Now, every bride I've ever seen looks great. But what if the bride decided, I don't want to go to all this fuss. I'm just going to sleep in. Cancel the hairdresser. I don't want my hair all done up. So much work. I can't be bothered with all that. I've got to get up so early and do it. And, you know, this makeup thing and all that, maybe I'll just put a little bit of lipstick on, but I'm not too worried about it. And maybe she got a wedding dress, but she didn't keep it in the nice wrapper and that. Maybe she hung it outside, all right? And dust got onto it, and it got dirty, and the wind blew it off the clothesline. It landed on the ground. The dog chased it around a bit. And so it comes to her wedding day. And everyone's standing in the church, and no one sees the bride, and she walks down the aisle. And you turn, and you look, and you go, oh, she hasn't done her hair. Her dress is all dirty. And you would hear a murmur amongst the congregation. Oh, I wonder what happened. Did the car get attacked by terrorists or something and she's just escaped? So you would notice a bride that did not present herself well, wouldn't you? You would notice a bride. God looks at us. Now, God doesn't look at our clothes. He doesn't look at my hair. He doesn't look at your hair. God looks at us and he says, do you look like my son? Do you look like my son? Jesus said, I've set you an example that you should follow. This is what we're to do. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't even matter what other people who are brothers and sisters say if it's contrary to the word. Here's our guidelines and instructions. Let us walk in it. So we forgive. So we love. So we don't get drunk. So we're not sexually immoral. So we don't have profane speech. All these things. And God looks and he says, there's my bride. Dress nicely. Okay, we don't want to be the bride that just thinks, I don't really care. It'll be fine. I know he loves me. I can just, you know, pick the thing up off the ground and put it on. That's not what God wants. And in fact, that's not the work of God, because God is actually here saying, this is dirty, this dress. Let's wash it. And we're not to go, no, Lord, let me continue doing these bad things. We are to say, yes, Lord, I will go through this process. Yes, Lord, I'll get up early even though I'm tired so I can prepare myself. All right, there is such a good analogy between the bride and the wedding and what God's done for us. Let's go to Revelation chapter 19. Okay, Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has what? What has His bride done? Has prepared herself. Now, isn't God preparing Himself a bride? So is the scripture in error that it says she prepared herself? Okay, we work together with God. So when the Holy Spirit speaks, we don't cross our arms and say, no way. Don't you dare ask me to stop drinking. That's how I feel good. We say, but Lord, help me. This is what makes me feel good. How can I escape this sin? And God will help. So we are to present ourselves to God. And God will change us. The Holy Spirit will change us. So Jesus is preparing the bride. Let's be in agreement with His preparation plan. Can you see that? Be in agreement with the preparation plan of God. So that when we come to verse 7, and it says that we rejoice because the bride has made herself ready. Okay? So we're in agreement. Now have a look at this. How does this happen? Verse 8. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Just let me read that again and just think about that. It was given to her. If I give you something, what do you do with it? It was given to her. Here, I've given you this wedding dress. Oh, thanks. Hey, let the dogs play with it. No. It was given to her to do something. What are we doing? It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen. Well, what is that? God's not looking at our clothes. What is the fine linen? It is the righteous acts of the saints. So that's how we live. That's how we work. That's how we do our things. And if that's not what's happening, then it's like discarding that wedding dress. Let's not do that. Let's be this bride. And we want to do this because there are all these benefits. Just go over the chapter to chapter 21. And again, the new heaven is likened to a bride. So God thinks highly of this type of example. Then I saw, chapter 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. He will dwell among them. They shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write these words, they are faithful and true. God is not lying about what is happening. God is doing all these things at this time. He is preparing a place for us. And this new place is going to be so beautiful, God says, it's going to be like a bride, adorned. Okay? At the wedding, the groom doesn't look as good as the bride, right? In this sense, isn't the bride the focus? And God in His love adorns the bride. And He says, this is what I'm doing for you in how you look and how you live your life. But this is what I'm doing in the future I've got for you. So we don't want to disqualify ourselves from being His bride. We don't want God to come to us and find us with another man. I also like Buddhism, Lord. No, we are the Lord's and His only. So He comes and finds us a chaste virgin, and the scriptures say that He finds us that we've kept ourselves for Him. So that's what we need to do. And by doing that, He says, here's the rewards coming for you. There's heaven. In heaven, God's going to wipe away every tear. No pain, no suffering, no sickness, no disease. You've got joy, fullness of joy. You see Jesus face to face. Imagine walking up and going, Jesus. You know, you'd be going, praise the Lord. I mean, there'd be a queue for hugging Him, wouldn't there? You'd be looking like this, give me a turn, you know, and you just want to hug Jesus face to face. You say, Lord, so tell me about this. And you'd talk to Him, and He'd walk with you. You know, He walked along the road with the men from Emmaus, didn't He? And He opened up the scriptures to them, and they said, didn't our hearts burn within us as He opened the Word? Can you imagine Yeah, I know you love the word. Can you imagine walking in heaven with God, saying, Lord, you know, and him just opening up things, instructing your heart. Wow. I mean, it's amazing. And that's not to even think about all the other benefits. God is going to provide an environment where you're not going to worry about people coming with guns or knives. People next door to us the other night had people drive past and stop and throw bricks through their home and turn off their power and egg their car. And we said, we found out and we said, we'll pray for you. But they were terrified inside of their house. That won't happen in heaven. That is not heaven. Heaven is going to be fantastic. So his bride is preparing herself. Verse 7 of Revelation 19. Okay, righteous acts of the saints. Okay, so it is so important that we say, yes, God. Jesus is preparing a bride, but we read in Revelation 7, the bride is preparing herself. What does that mean? We're working together with the Lord. The Lord says, do this. The Lord says to you maybe, I notice your jokes are getting a bit not good. Listen to that. Yes, Lord. Okay. The Lord says to you, I don't want you going to these after-work functions because you're drinking too much. Listen to that. Whatever the Lord says. And if you say, I didn't hear the Lord specifically say that, read the Word. What does the Word say? 95%, they say, of how you need to live your life is found in here. Don't swear, don't drink, don't steal. You know, all that sort of thing. Don't get drunk, all that sort of stuff. It's all in here. So follow that. Let's be these people who let what it says in Ephesians 5, that the Word of God does wash us and cleanse us, that He prepares us and presents ourselves to Him. And we have all of these benefits. You will see in your, we've read out a lot of these scriptures in Revelation. We see that there is an end to all this stuff that is on the earth, and that God will have this bride in heaven. And we want to be that bride. When I told you I was single for a long time, and I built a house in 2002. But you know, when I built that house, I prayed and I said, Lord, I believe I'm going to get married one day. So how do I build this house in a way my wife will like? And how do I furnish it? And I didn't even know Elgin at the time. And I hadn't dated for 5 years or so. So I'm building this house. And I can tell you, all these times I went out and the Lord said, your wife will like this. Your wife will like this. So I did these things. And then all these people said to me, when you get married, it's a shame you've built a house, because when you get married, your wife will want to establish her own house. And so you'll have to sell this and go and make another. And I was really troubled, and I said, I prayed so much because I just prayed so much, and I wanted to make a place for me and my wife. And then when we got married and time passed, and I said to Elgin, do you like this place? And Elgin said, I love it. I love this. This is the type of fridge that I wanted. And she liked these things, and she liked all this stuff that I was actually going to do different things. And the Lord said, your wife will like this. So I did it as a single person. Now, how many of you know the scripture where Jesus is talking and he says about the woman who comes and asks for the loaf, and it says, and he gives it to him. Sorry, not the woman. And he says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father? When I think about the bride, I think my heart was full of joy to make a place for my wife, whom I hadn't even met. If my heart is overflowing with joy and wanting to do these things, and that's me and I'm like an evil man compared to God, what is God preparing for us? In heaven. Wonderful things. Wonderful things. So he is preparing a place for us. So we need to run with endurance the race set before us. Look to Jesus, who is our example and who will finish our faith. If he speaks to us, let us hear and obey. And let us be the bride without spot or blemish. All right, Heavenly Father, Lord, please bless this word to us, Father. May it just bear much fruit in our lives. We give you all the glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Was there any questions, comments or thoughts? No, we have an exciting day today, so we're going to have all sorts of fun things happening. Okay, so if there's no questions or comments, we're all excited to be the bride of Christ. We're all excited and honored to be part of the bride. So, yeah, praise God. Thank you, Brother John. You want to?
Hallelujah.
Your name, that your name.